I've had him on the show before. He always comes on during Lent because I like to get a little, just kind of a little kickstart on my penitential seasons. And Father Jambon always comes on. But last time he says, hey, can you bring me on some other time? We can talk about other things. I said, you bet, Father, we'll do that. And so here I am, living up to that promise, finally. Now, this episode or this segment might sound a little bit like a downer. It's not. It's really a meditation of hope and charity. But we have to also face real facts. And I think one of the facts that we're up against is this just complete loss, one of authority and order in society. But the result of that has been that we've kind of lost society. We don't have deep relationships. We don't have community. We don't have togetherness, any kind of love, any kind of systemic view or vision of what we're doing as a group. And I wanted to bring Father Jambon on, as a religious, I think they have a slightly different view of community because they actually can live in communities, as Father is right now, as a chaplain to the nuns in Missouri. So I'm going to bring Father on, and we're going to talk about building the body of Christ, practical suggestions for starting and building your local traditional community. Father Jambon, welcome back to the True Money Show.
Thank you very much, David. Glad to be here.
How have you been, Father? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Oh, I'm doing very well. Living the dream.
Oh, I bet you are. So, I forget. Is it Ava, Missouri? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Ava, Missouri, here in southwestern Missouri.
So you're serving as a chaplain to these nuns, and these nuns, by the way, they sing and they produce CDs of beautiful, beautiful music for different and various seasons of the year. How do we find the nuns online, Father? I never can remember.
Yes, well, it's their name, BenedictinesOfMary.org.
Okay.
And you can get their music there and all the rest of the information they have to offer for us.
All right. So, Father, I don't know where you want to go, and I'm gonna start asking some questions. If you want to, dart off in a different direction, that's fine with me, because any counsel you give would be greatly appreciated. I just find myself, really, my mind seems just bound to meditate on the shattering of Christendom. I mean, I constantly am... Well, I mean, whether it be friends calling me saying, "Man, we're not even together anymore," or people from far away, other crusaders who write me and say, "Man, we should all move together somewhere close together," or whatever. There's different ways this topic comes up, but it constantly comes to my mind. I'm constantly meditating on it. I believe Christendom really has been shattered. I wish it could be reunited in some form, but I haven't had any real answers. So I was just going to ask from the front end, what have you found? Do you feel the same way? And do you sense that there needs to be some movement to reestablish it? And do you have any initial suggestions on what the solution is?
Yes, well, I think it's worth our while to meditate on the view of the mystical body from St. Catherine of Siena. She has tremendous doctrines as she wrote her writings back in the 13th century or 14th century, whatever. Anyway, she's a great saint, and she reminds us of that Pauline doctrine about how Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
And he won his church, he won his spouse through his crucifixion. So Christ died for his spouse, the church, and we are the spouse. We participate in the spouse, the Holy Mother Church, through the sacraments, through baptism. All these members, not all of them are glorified yet. Many of them are still struggling in purgatory, and a big, vast number of us are still working here on church militant. Mm-hmm. So that means that many of the members are not fully glorified. So this explains a lot of the disappointments within the members themselves of Christ's body that offer us scandal, setbacks. Every time we try to work for a goal, we're stepping over our own feet. We're tripping up on our own selves. And Christ warned us about all of this because he knows that he will triumph at the end of it all. So it's not to get discouraged. And perhaps maybe an excuse would be, well, we are the invisible church, therefore we can just forego the visible church, but then we're denying Catholic dogma that says that the church has to be visible. It has to have a physical structure.
Correct.
In order for it to exist, because that's how God made man. He didn't just make man into an angel-like spirit, but rather made him incarnate, It means that he has flesh, he's made of matter. So therefore, the church has to take on a similar aspect in order to save the whole man. So that's why there's a big monkey wrench stabbed in the spokes, and our bike gets destroyed, it seems. So this can't discourage us. What has to happen is that this is a call to greater sanctity. Obviously, we have in our view Christendom, because I also meditate often on Christendom. And in high school, 30 years ago, this is one of the biggest reasons why I entered a seminary, was to protect and to bring about the renew the greatness of Christendom,
mm-hmm.
Christ the King over all of this visible society. But and there's one phrase from the Psalms that really I like to quote right here that really sets the tone for this, this absolute confidence from Psalm 126, verse 1. It says, Nisi Dominus edificavit domum, in vanum laboraverunt, qui edificant eam. If the Lord does not build the house, the laborers work at it in vain.
Wow.
And it's just so powerful because he is building it with us or without us. His kingdom will be established. So therefore, I think it's a call to trust in God, because he's going to win at the end of it all. If we just trust in God, his plans will come about, maybe not the way that we thought them to be, but nevertheless, no one will mock God. He will always have the laugh.
Well, you know, Father, first of all, as you were as you were talking, I immediately got this great piece, and I said, "What? There's nothing else to ask you now. What you just said, I could just go ahead and end the show, and nobody needs to know anything else, because You gave us the great counsel first to remember the real end of all this and who the real ruler is. And then once you kind of get that in your mind, kind of everything else fades almost in its insignificance. You're willing to trudge the paths and fight the fights and enjoy some of the consolations and the friendships and along the way. In other words, you kind of get all of that if you have the right ordering of your mind. And clearly, you know, my soul is restless because it's not being right ordered right now. Also, coincident with that, in the chat room, Molly put a picture of you, and I guess it's a bishop there, and a bunch of nuns standing around. And these nuns are all smiling. I mean, their faces look like just little angels. I mean, every one of them looks like you just could go sit down with, and she would talk to you, and it just make your day a world-class day because of the joy that they have. So I suppose, like I said, your first answer is all I need. However, I'm going to follow up with some that are still going to sound kind of melancholy. and you can keep cheering me up, okay, Father?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. So one of the things we talk about as crusaders, especially in the chat room, and is all of us moving to one place. Do you think that's a good idea, or should we stay put and just be associated like we are through these internet things and phones and chat rooms and whatever else? Just kind of, what is your gut feeling about the idea of some kind of amalgamation? We all move somewhere, or no? Let's stay kind of throughout the dough. Be yeast wherever we are. Where do you fall out on that?
Right. Well, I think that the rules of discernment could really help us out a lot. What's so important about making decisions, especially as a community or as an individual, it's important to purify our intentions. Why are we doing such and such a thing?
Right.
And then if I've discerned with all my reflections and taking the weighing, the pros and the cons, if I see through the tradition of the church, through the example of the saints, through the biblical input, if I see that it's going through this action, through this attempt, through this initiative, it's going to increase within our view, because it's already there, but in our view, it's going to increase the glory of God and the eternal salvation of souls, then we are to go forward with it. If it does not bring about this greater glory of God, then we should halt immediately. Now, when it's unclear, because most of the stuff that happens to us is mostly unclear, because it has you move one domino and all the other dominoes will have to move with it, right?
Right.
So So when it becomes unclear, this is when we have to pray and we have to continue to reflect and see such a thing that we can propose as a community, as a community base, as an individual. Will this bring about God's glory? Will it please God more? And without my own personal attachments to the results of these things, will it bring about God's peace within me, regardless of if I have my little pet peeve quenched,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, there's something to that, too. 844-527-8723. You're listening to Father Jeffrey Jambone on the True Money Show. I am David Simpson here, Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. I brought Father on, you know, as a person who could talk to practical considerations of setting up traditional communities. Of course, the real point of all this is, why do we feel such a loss of community and a breakdown of togetherness and oneness, and what I call it a shattering of Christendom? Now, we have to know that some of this has been because of what's just happened in the world. We've been in a revolutionary state for 500 years. Part of it, of course, is the complete falling down of all proper authorities. We don't know who to listen to and who's going to right the ship. But much of this, I think, is which Father is getting to, which is just kind of blowing me away. You know, Father, you mentioned in that answer how you should seek the will of God in the thing, and your own personal peccadilloes or desires or whatever else really aren't supposed to be the driving factor. But I find even in my, you know, myself, and again, I meditate on this all the time. I should be better at this by now, but it's trying to alleviate my own pain, like, you know, the sorrow that I feel of a lack of community. You know, instead of offering that up to God, I'm saying, well, I want the sorrow's got to go. The sorrow's got to go. I don't want to be alone. I'm lonely. I don't have the friends that I want. I want more relationship. And if God's not wanting to give me that, I shouldn't be seeking it. Correct? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. You know, in the book of Samuel, it says that the way God thinks, man does not, and vice versa. So I think to put into this equation, to give us a lot of peace of mind, we have to understand that every advance of the kingdom of Christ in our visible society is going to take bloodshed. In other words, all salvation takes place through Christ being hoisted up on the gibbet of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Will suffer his 3 hours agony. So there is no salvation without the cross. We saw this in a very graphic way on September 14th for the triumph of the Holy Cross. Believe it or not, that feast day has a tone of exuberant triumph.
Mm.
That would almost baffle us because the theme is the cross.
Yep.
We're meditating on the nails, we're meditating on the bloodshed, etc. But all of a sudden, the church gives us a curveball. And all of a sudden, we're like contemplating the beauty of a cross. Now, I say that because every traditional community that's going to form moving forward, every priest that's going to be holy, every family that's going to avoid adultery and will produce saints within their household is going to take a participation in the very crucifix of Christ. But let us not be dismayed. Because what St. Augustine says about the crucifix of Christ, he said that one tear shed over the crucifixion of Christ does more good to the soul than an entire year of pilgrimage in Jerusalem.
Okay.
You know, so that should give us the thing, that not to expect castles in the air, not to look for an easy victory. But rather, this is all going to be strenuous, but then God will give us his grace.